Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today, as we get into the topic of temporal versus eternal, we find ourselves in 2 Corinthians. And as we get into 2 Corinthians today, I think over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to find ourselves in that letter. So what I want to do is give you a little bit of what Martin Luther wrote on this letter. So he wrote, in the first epistle, in other words, in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul rebuked the Corinthians severely for many things. Martin Luther used the wording here saying, pouring sharp wine into their wounds to clean them and also frightening them. So if you take a look at 1 Corinthians, you'll see that the tone of it is a very sharp tone because they had a lot of really serious problems in that church, and Paul is writing to them in a really strong way. But then Martin Luther goes on to write, but an apostle should be a preacher of comfort to raise up terrified and fearful consciences rather than to frighten them. Therefore, in this epistle, in other words, in 2 Corinthians, he praises them once more and pours oil into their wounds to heal them. He shows himself wonderfully kind to them. So it might remind us of this idea we talk sometimes regarding law and gospel. The way they were functioning, they needed to hear a real strong dose of the law. Keep living in sin without repentance, and you will burn in hell forever. That's 1 Corinthians. But then 2 Corinthians would be, I'm rejoicing that now you are repentant, now you are recognizing your sin, now you are sorry for your sin, now you are looking to Jesus Christ again, and I want you to know that in God's sight, you are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. So a much different tone in 2 Corinthians. Well, today's text, we jump all the way to chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. And if you're using an ESV Bible, an English Standard Version, the title of this section is called Treasure in Clay Jars. So what is the treasure? The treasure is the good news of Jesus Christ. And why do we talk about the clay jar? Because this treasure is contained in a physical body, which is temporary. As we think about physical bodies, and maybe the younger people would have a hard time thinking about this, because the younger people, they are continuing to grow, to mature, to gain strength and energy and all kinds of positive things. But sometimes for others like myself, we find ourselves in a physical situation where we are declining, where we are losing some strength. But what God wants us to do is he wants us to know this life is temporal. This life is not forever and ever, but he wants us to view what we have going on here now in the light of eternity. So we should know this is not the end. This is a short part of all that is to come. I'm going to talk a little bit later how this life could be seen and maybe should be seen simply as a preparation for the life to come. But what happens with many people? They're living this life as if this is all there is, and they make no preparation for the life to come, and therefore they're going to be in horrible trouble in the life to come. Okay, let's get into the text here. So in this first part, I'm calling it Believing, Speaking, and Confident. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up in verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, that would be the same spirit of faith as the psalmist, according to what has been written in Psalm 116:10, I believed, and so I spoke. That's what the psalmist wrote. And then Paul says, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So we have two ideas here I want to pick up on. So we also believe and speak. So going to Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So this idea about believing with the heart, confessing with the mouth, these are the realities of every Christian. God wants us to know that. So God has enabled us to believe what? That we are sinners. We do know that God's a holy God. We do know that Jesus Christ is the only escape, and we have him by God's grace. We are blessed. Okay, we are confident too. As I say here, we believe, but what we believe is hard to believe. It's kind of ridiculous what we believe. It's foolish what we believe, but nevertheless, we believe it. So what are we confident in? We look at Jesus and we say, really, truly, he died, but really, truly, he was raised. So are we going to die? We are. Is God going to raise us up someday? He is. We are confident of that. So we don't fear death because we know that death is not the end. Part two, thankful for God's gift of eternal life. Picking up in verse 15, it says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we know that apart from Jesus Christ, we were hell bound, but now through Christ, we know we are heaven bound. He, Jesus Christ, makes all the difference in the world, all the difference for eternity. So what does that mean? We should be so happy, so thrilled that we have the promise of heaven. I mean, there's nothing greater in the world than knowing that for certain. God has given us that great blessing. Part three, focused on things that last forever. Picking up in verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our temporal outer self is wasting away, our eternal inner self is being renewed day by day. So with our outer self, what's going on? We are ebbing closer and closer to the day when we will die. So God has given us so many days on earth, and after we live today, we can cross that one off the calendar. Okay, we have one less day to live now. So we're ebbing closer and closer and closer to that day. We should realize that. We shouldn't try to fool ourselves about that reality. But what God wants us to know, though, that our inner self, our eternal self, day by day, God is working by his Spirit through his word to renew us, to mature us, to strengthen us. So even though physically we might be declining, spiritually we are being built up more and more. God wants us to see that, to rejoice in that. And then notice some of the benefits here, picking up in verse 17. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, which are temporal, but to the things that are unseen, which are eternal. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, some people would say, hey, out of sight, out of mind. Some people would say, if I can't see it, it doesn't even exist. But what do we confess in the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. So just because things are not visible doesn't mean that they are not realities. We can't see them, but yet they are real. So I have a couple questions here. What do we value more? Maybe I should make it more personal and say, what do you value more? And I have to ask myself the same question, temporal things or eternal things? Or to put it another way, is our focus on this life, or do we see this entire life as a preparation for the life to come? So think about someone that was running in the Cleveland Marathon 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you can imagine how many hours and hours and hours people put in preparing their bodies for that one race. So all that they were doing was preparation for that race. Well, should we look at this life and say, everything I'm doing, whether it's gathering here at Bethlehem, whether it's opening my Bible at home, whether it's interacting with my neighbor, whether it's interacting with my coworkers or my family members, can we see how all of that could be preparation for that final day then when we breathe our last, or for that final day when Christ comes again, or for that final day when we stand before him in judgment? God wants us to look at it in that manner. He wants us to see that life is not just random, that we have all these different things to do, and some of it's temporal and some of it's eternal, but he wants all of the temporal to be proceeded through in light of the eternal. So we know that there's an eternity coming, so therefore I'm proceeding this way now, knowing that eternity is coming over here. I'm going to talk to this guy this way because I know that eternity is coming over here. I'm going to do my work, whether the boss is looking or not, because I know eternity is coming over here, and I know God sees all things. God wants us to see that how everything in our temporal lives, that should have an effect on this reality that eternity is coming for every one of us. Also, too, with the next words, I say, when we value eternal things more than temporal things, then our difficulties in this life will seem light and short. We can become so focused on something in this life that we forget about who God is. We forget about all that he has made. We forget that he's there for us. We forget that there's an eternity coming. God wants us to keep these things in perspective. And when we do, then when the afflictions come, they will seem light, they will seem short in the light of eternity. Very important to keep that perspective. Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "To be concerned about the perishable things of this world and thereby to lose the true and lasting values of heaven argues for a false estimate of values." In other words, thinking about the two piles of things I had with the children earlier, unfortunately, many people are going to value that temporal pile of things much more than the eternal pile of things. But Dr. Kretzmann is saying, for anyone who would do that, they have a false estimate of values. If we have a proper estimate of values, we're going to easily see that the eternal pile is far, far, far more valuable than anything in the temporal pile. How did Jesus put it? Going to Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" So that's something to think about, no matter how much we get, no matter how much we have. What was the old bumper sticker years ago? "He who dies with the most toys wins." And then the Christians came out with their version, "He who dies with the most toys wins nothing." God wants us to know that's true. I mean, it's nice to have some toys in life. We probably all have something maybe we would consider a toy, and we are blessed with some toys, but they should mean nothing in comparison to our relationship with the Almighty God in Jesus Christ. In part 4, knowing God will give us an eternal body. Actually, the verse we have here, that will be the beginning of the sermon next week. So just to read it and mention it briefly, it says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So yes, our current bodies, they're temporary, like tents. Someday they will die. However, let us not despair. Let us know that Jesus will raise us up. Let us know that Jesus will give us glorified bodies someday, and let us know that Jesus will bless all who know him forevermore. May those realities help us in keeping a proper view of the temporal. May it always be in light of the eternal. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.